Welcome to the Finding True Health podcast, episode number 18. I had a different podcast topic planned for today, but we had kind of a scary thing happen to my daughter tonight. And that brought back a flood of memories from the day that my son almost died. And I feel impressed to share that story today, along with some of the lessons that I learned from that. And I really hope that these lessons can help you as well. So buckle up. This one's going to be a fun one, and hopefully it'll be helpful as well. So let's go. Hey there, friends. My name's Jenna Waite. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist, mother of five, and someone who's passionate about helping others find true health in the midst of diet culture and body objectification. Join me as we take our focus off of weight and body size and put it on to becoming the healthiest possible versions of ourselves so that we can have energy to live our best lives. I am so excited you're here. Now let's dive in. Hello, how's it going? Okay, I'm just going to jump right in here. And first, I'm going to tell you about what happened tonight with my daughter, and then I'll get into my experience with my son. So my kids all had soccer games tonight, and when they got home, they were all pretty sweaty and dirty. So I sent my older ones off to take a shower, and then my two younger ones I threw in the bathtub. So my 8-year-old Ethan and my 4-year-old Elaine were in the bathtub, and I was sitting in the bathroom, going to the bathroom in a separate little room than they were. And all of a sudden, I heard a huge crash. And I hurried and finished up and came out, and I saw my daughter standing up crying, and she just had blood just streaking down the whole side of her face. And of course, I kind of start freaking out. My husband runs in, we pull her out, and we're trying to get her calmed down and the blood washed off to kind of see what happened, and finally get her in the shower and get the blood and the soap and everything out of her hair, and got a towel pushed on it and noticed that it was just a pretty small little cut and it stopped bleeding pretty quickly. She had pulled, I had like a vase full of bath salts on the bathtub, and she had pulled that down and just shattered it everywhere. And so she ended up being okay. It was a small cut. Like I said, it stopped bleeding pretty quickly. She also had a few scrapes on her hands and her feet and kind of all over her body, but nothing serious. Of course, as we were getting her cleaned up, we thought, oh, should we rush her to the ER? We didn't know how bad it was. It looked horrifying. And so I was sure that she had a huge gash in her head and we had to get her to the doctor right away. But thankfully, it was okay. And I know that that situation could have been a whole lot worse. I know that we were so, so blessed that all that ended in just a little cut on her head. And I'm so grateful for that. And after all that happened, I went back to preparing this podcast episode, and it's one that I'd been working on all day. But I just kept having this feeling that I needed to not do that episode, kept having these thoughts of this experience with my son. And I'd planned on sharing this experience at a future date, but I feel like I need to share it sooner than I had planned. And so I'm going to be diving into the day that my son almost died. As you can imagine, this is a pretty hard story for me to share, but I'm pretty far removed from it. It's been a few years now, and I think I can handle it. And I feel like it can really help somebody out there and possibly even save a life. So it's definitely worth the discomfort of sharing. So here it goes. Back in November 2018, we noticed that my son, who was 11 at the time, had started losing quite a bit of weight. At first, we just thought he was going through your typical growth spurt that boys go through. But after a little while, I could tell that he was looking kind of emaciated. He just kept losing and losing, and we didn't have any explanation for the weight loss. So I called the doctor and decided to see what he had to say. And we set up an appointment for him, and that appointment was set on a Friday. Well, the Wednesday before the appointment, well, a few days even before that, he had been feeling kind of sick. However, he often complained that he was sick to try to get out of school. So I didn't really believe him and just kept making him go to school, which of course I feel terrible about now. But he went to school for a few days and said he wasn't feeling well. And then on Wednesday, the Wednesday before his scheduled doctor's appointment, he threw up that morning. And we had had the flu going around our house, so I assumed he'd caught the flu. And so I let him stay home that day. And he just spent the day laying on the couch. And he just was having normal flu symptoms. But the only difference was he was breathing quite heavily. And I thought he was just kind of trying to ease the pain from his stomach because he said his stomach hurt. But I later learned that he actually was in ketoacidosis. And this was his body's way of trying to get the ketones out of his blood. But of course, at the time, I didn't know this. I just thought he had the flu. So about halfway through the day, I started getting a prompting, a feeling that I needed to take him into the doctor. And at first, I brushed it away because I thought I was being silly and overprotective and we would just see the doctor on Friday. And the funny thing is, I thought he's got to get over this flu and then we'll see the doctor on Friday to see what's going on with his weight and his health. But something inside of me just kept telling me, go take him. So we took him to the Instacare and the doctor there didn't really actually know what was going on. Didn't really see the red flag of his heavy breathing. But thankfully, he did say, it looks like he's in a lot of pain. I can run some tests, but it'll take a while to get back the results. So you might just want to take him to the ER because they can run the tests a lot faster there. And so that was kind of my green light to get to the ER, which I was feeling all along that we should just go there. But again, I just was kind of feeling like I was being too paranoid. So got in the car, drove him to the ER. Actually, I got in the car and took a couple of our younger kids home while my husband took Tyler to the ER. Thankfully, as soon as my husband and Tyler walked into the ER, one of the doctors recognized that he was showing signs of diabetes and that his heavy breathing was ketoacidosis. And so they admitted him immediately. By the time I dropped my other children off at home and got to the ER, Tyler was in a bed, all hooked up, and he was unconscious and had fluid on his brain. And he was in a real state of emergency. Our ER doesn't specialize in children, and so immediately they called up to a primary children's hospital up in Salt Lake City, and they were on the phone with them the whole time being instructed on how to handle Tyler's case. The way it was explained to me is they were kind of walking a tightrope. They had to correct the imbalances and get the fluid off the brain, but they couldn't do it too fast. If they didn't correct it fast enough, he would die. If they corrected it too fast, he would die. So they were really walking this fine tightrope. They didn't feel comfortable treating Tyler at the ER here, and so they sent a jet down from Salt Lake. And the nurses at the ER here also didn't feel comfortable treating Tyler during the flight, so they had to send a couple of nurses down from Primary Children's as well. It was a stormy night. It took some time to get the jet there, but eventually they made it. I was able to fly in the jet back up with Tyler, and he was, again, just unconscious the whole time. And I just sat crying and praying, and sorry, I'd just never felt so afraid in my life. But before we had left, my brother-in-law had come to the hospital and he gave Tyler a blessing. Now, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I believe in the power of God, in the power of priesthood, and I believe that that blessing was part of what saved his life. And in the blessing, my brother-in-law promised that Tyler would be okay. So I was clinging to that promise the whole flight. And although I was terrified, I also felt a real sense of calm and peace. And I did feel in my heart that Tyler would be okay. Well, we landed in Salt Lake, took an ambulance to the Primary Children's, and Tyler spent the night in the ICU. And the amazing doctors and nurses there walked that tightrope all night long. We were up all night with him. They would come in periodically and ask him questions to see if he was coming back to consciousness. And most of the questions he couldn't answer correctly. At one point was kind of funny. They asked him what school he went to. And at the time, he was still in elementary school, but he told them that he went to Dixie College, which is the college in our town. So even though there were some funny moments, it was still quite scary. And we weren't really out of the woods until well into the next day. But the next day, he had regained consciousness. His labs were looking much better. They felt comfortable moving him up to a regular room. And then he spent the next 3 days there just getting fully recovered enough to go home. And of course, we were just beyond grateful that everything turned out fine. And Tyler's great now. He's a teenager. He's learned how to manage his diabetes quite well. We still have ups and downs, but we're just so grateful that he's still with us. So why do I share this story? I apologize. I thought I could get through it without crying, but it still is pretty tender to me. So one reason I wanted to share this story is just to bring awareness to the signs of diabetes and hopefully help other parents be aware of those signs so that they can catch it earlier than we did and they can get their children in quicker and it won't turn into such a life and death situation like it was for Tyler. So I want to go over the typical signs for diabetes. This is both type 1 and type 2 diabetes. And some of these you might be familiar with already. Some of them might be new to you. One sign is that they often feel very thirsty and that they are urinating often. The funny thing is this didn't really happen with Tyler. He did get a little bit more thirsty at night, it seemed like, than normal. But he wasn't overly thirsty or going to the bathroom a whole lot like you hear about. And that's kind of the symptom I had always been taught to look out for. And the fact that that wasn't happening with Tyler, I think, is one reason that diabetes didn't really occur to me. But this next symptom is one that Tyler definitely had and one that I wish I would have known about. Feeling very hungry, even though you are eating. For a good several weeks before this experience, Tyler seemed obsessed with food. He would talk about it all the time. He would ask me almost every night if we could go out to get fast food. And he would cry, like literally cry, if I told him no. This was in November, and so Christmas was coming up. And whenever I asked Tyler what he wanted for Christmas, all he said was different types of food. We took him to the store to look for toys, and all he did was go over to the food aisle and say, I want this candy and these cookies and these chips. So I didn't know what was going on, but now it makes complete sense. His body was literally starving. So what happens when you have diabetes is even though you're eating food, your body can't take that glucose into its cells. And so your body thinks that it's starving. And that's why Tyler was losing weight. His body was using his muscle, metabolizing his muscle for energy. And so it's just interesting that he became so obsessed with food because his body was literally starving. And this is exactly what happens when people go on diets. They become much more preoccupied with food than they normally would be because their body is literally starving and it wants to eat. And so it's going to give them thoughts of food and especially thoughts of high carbohydrate, high sugar food, things that will provide it really quick energy. So that was definitely a symptom that Tyler had. Another symptom is extreme fatigue, blurry vision. If they get cuts or bruises that are slow to heal. And like I've talked about with Tyler, weight loss is another symptom. Even though they might be eating, they're still losing weight. That's typically a symptom with type 1 diabetes, which Tyler had. With type 2 diabetes, that's not as common of a symptom. But a symptom for type 2 diabetes is that they might have tingling or pain or numbness in their hands or their feet. And something to note about type 2 diabetes is that although somebody might be experiencing some or all of these symptoms, they might be very mild, and so they might go unnoticed. So it's just really important to pay really close attention to your body, your children as much as possible, to be aware of any of these symptoms going on. And that brings me to the first lesson I want to share about this experience. Because Tyler was a little bit older, I wasn't super aware of his urinating habits and Although, again, I knew he was losing weight, I didn't really realize how much he had lost because I never saw him without his clothes on. So with younger children, it might be a little easier to see some of these symptoms because you're generally a little more involved with caring for them. But with older children, I feel like it's really important to talk to your kids about these possible symptoms. You don't need to scare them or get them paranoid, but it's just important that they're aware so that they can let you know if anything is going on with them that you might not be catching on to. You might even want to buy a cheap glucose monitor to have in the house just to test your kid's blood sugar if you ever see something that concerns you, if you're ever worried, and especially if you have diabetes in the family, then this is something that I would definitely have in the home. The interesting thing is I have one aunt with diabetes, but we don't have any other diabetics on either side of the family. So I didn't feel like having one aunt was a very big risk factor, but apparently it was enough. So now I know. And now we're a lot more cautious with any of these symptoms with our other children. The second thought I had that I want to share with about this experience is to just hug your kids, tell them that you love them, try to cherish your time together as much as possible. I know this is cliche to say, but it really is true that they could be gone at any time. I truly feel that relationships are the most important thing in life. Now, my actions don't always show that belief. I get so caught up in work and in cleaning the house and in running errands that sometimes I forget what it's all for. It's for the people that I love. Now, those are both people that are in my life, and those are people that I love that I might not even know personally, like many of you listeners. But I really think that loving and serving others is what makes life happy and fulfilling, and that making those relationships a priority is so important. I don't know why Tyler was spared that day, when I know other kids with similar experiences who were not. All I can think is that Tyler had more to do on this earth and it wasn't his time to go. But just as the last few years have taught us, anything can happen and we don't know how much longer any of us have on this earth. My heart really goes out to any of you who have lost a loved one recently in any way, be it COVID or some other tragedy. I know that that can be one of the most painful things on earth to bear, and I just want you to know that I love you and I'm so sorry. Another lesson that I learned in this experience is that beating yourself up over situations like this does not do any good. Unless you intentionally hurt somebody, I don't believe that there's any reason to feel guilt due to a mistake that might have led to a tragedy. When we were in the ER with Tyler, I kept saying things like, I should have brought him in sooner, and if anything happens to him, I'll never forgive myself. And a kind doctor who was there helping with Tyler overheard me, and he came over to me and he said, listen, he said, I have some friends who are parents. Both of them are type 1 diabetics, so they're very familiar with this disease. And he said, one day they called me because their daughter hadn't been feeling very well for a while. And all three of us assumed that it was the flu, and it ended up being diabetes. He said, so if a doctor and two diabetic parents misread the symptoms, then it's completely understandable that you would too. So that made me feel a little bit better and take some of that guilt off of me. But I know it can be really hard when you feel like there's something more you could have or should have done. But I want to encourage you and give you permission, if you ever feel that, to just let it go, because it's not your fault. And the fourth and last lesson I want to share is that there are certain things that are simply beyond our control regarding our health. Tyler did not choose to have type 1 diabetes. He does not enjoy it. He has a good attitude most of the time, but even this morning he woke up with high blood sugar because his monitor expired and he felt very sick and couldn't go to school. Anyway, there's a lot of not fun things that come along with having any sort of disease or ailment, and our bodies are not perfect. But I really encourage you to put your focus on the things that you can control and just try to let go of the rest. Do your best to be as healthy as possible in any given moment, in any given stage, and that's going to look different throughout your life, different times, on different days, and that's completely fine. Nobody is going to live this mortal experience perfectly. So that is my story of the day my son almost died. I hope that you were able to get a nugget or two out of this podcast episode. Thank you for listening and allowing me to share this tender and personal story, but I really hope that it can help somebody out there. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you have a fantastic day. Go and hold the ones that you love a little bit closer today, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Do you want to ditch diets and eat more intuitively, but you're just not sure how? Well, I have a course designed just for you. Health Through Habits is where intuitive eating meets habit formation. It's a step-by-step guide for turning the principles of intuitive eating into doable, sustainable habits in your life so you can become the healthiest possible version of yourself. You're not going to want to miss out on this life-changing course, so head on over to healththroughhabits.com to check it out.